Let's get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Rich. Sorry about that. I was just getting out of a meeting here. There's been a lot of those recently. You know, it's tough being the big cheese sometimes. So, I know Carrie was just trying to get me on the line here. So, here we are.
Well, you're management guy, right? You gotta be the one to make the tough decisions.
Sometimes, yes. Break some hearts, you know. But then on the other side of it, you know, shake some hands, kiss some babies. So it's a little bit of everything, you know.
There you go. That's the life of Nick Coit in a nutshell. You were at the Garden last night. My goodness, what a game and what an environment at the Garden. Let's start with that environment. Were the Celtics fans, were they rude? Were they out of line? Did they go too far?
Yeah, really rude. You know, Rich, just so over the top and just so, you know, atypical of what we're used to seeing from sports fans all across the United States of America. I don't know. I'm rolling my eyes today, Rich, at some of these comments from the Warriors, because what did you expect? It's Boston. What did you expect? Do you think they're going to come in and, you know, just eat their cheese, drink their wine, and say, oh, good game, good show, that was jolly good form, jolly good basketball? No, it's Boston. Get off my lawn. Get out of my way. I need my Dunkin'. I'm going to drink my iced coffee. I'm going to watch the Celtics. The Celtics are the balls. They're going to win, and here we are.
Hey, this one's for your mother, Draymond. Take that, huh?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, you know? So that's what it is around here. So that's why they say that you're going into a hostile environment, right? Well, no more hostile than TD Garden Boston.
All right. On the court last night, the Celtics got the win. So many good things last night. The great balance in scoring. But the fact that they didn't take their foot off the gas, that was the key. They never really, outside that run late in the first half, they never really let the Warriors make that run that they've become accustomed to in the first two games.
Well, you were sweating a little bit in that third quarter again. And that was sort of a typical Celtics third quarter. But what was impressive was the run that they made at the end of the third going into the fourth. Because really that flagrant one foul they called on Al Horford, which was, by the rules, the right call, that really could have been a momentum shifter. Because it was a 7-point swing. It was huge. And it sort of allowed the Warriors, they took the lead at one point. But what you felt good about was the way that the Celtics were, I thought, patient offensively, but also they really imposed their will on both ends of the floor. When Robert Williams is healthy and he's feeling well, and he's had his ups and downs with this knee issue, but on the nights where he's got a spring and he can play the way he did last night, oh boy, it is tough to beat the Celtics. I mean, he was a presence. He seemed to be in good health last night, and I think it changed a lot of things for the Celtics. And their conscious effort, too, to get to the basket, 52 points in the paint. They doubled up the Warriors in the paint. That was really, really impressive. So they imposed their will, and I thought that was the difference in the game.
And it was such a great play, especially after a fairly quiet game, too. That early dunk by Al Horford was great.
Yeah, it was. The role guys stepped forward last night, and you know they needed more out of Horford, they needed more out of Marcus Smart, and they needed either a Grant Williams or Derek White to step forward, and they got, you know, a little bit of everything from everybody. And again, it was part of that conscious effort to, you know, get to the basket and attack the paint. And you know, Horford was one of the guys that was in there, you know, fighting for rebounds too. They had 15 offensive rebounds. You know, when you're grabbing offensive boards like that, you're giving yourself second chances. You're taking the ball out of the Warriors' hands, and it only bodes well. So you're right. He was one of the guys doing that.
And that ball movement that's been a strength of their offense all season long, it was great again. And they had that in game two, but I thought there were a number of times, though, where they had the ball in the paint and would kick it back outside for a three. To me, they're a much better team when they do the opposite, when they work that ball, pound it inside, and then, hey, if something opens outside, okay.
Yeah, and especially against this team that clearly is having some issues when the Celtics turn it on and they use their physicality and their strength to get to the basket. You know, but if they have an open three, that's the dangerous thing about these Celtics, is they can shoot the three at a good percentage and they can knock it down at a good percentage. You don't want to leave even a guy like Grant Williams. I mean, it was really eye-opening in Game 7 against the Bucks that Grant Williams turned into what he's wanted to be this entire time, which is Batman, and, you know, hit three after three. But every one of the guys in the lineup can shoot it, and that's a really dangerous thing. It highlights, like you said, the patience that they showed on offense. Even when the shot clock's running down, there was no panic last night, and they found the best shot that they could in most occasions, and obviously led to the results that they had.
Steph Curry, 31 points, but a little gimpy there at the end of the game. They did finally get some contributions from Klay Thompson, but if they don't have Steph Curry at 100%, that would bode pretty well for the Celtics.
Big time. Yeah, big time. I mean, look, shooter shoot, and he's still going to knock down shots. But, if he's not 100% healthy, you're right. It's just going to be Draymond's going to have to play linebacker and special teams and now play quarterback out there for them. You know, they'll win really rough things up because, you know, who else do you turn to? I mean, you're right. Klay Thompson did step forward a little bit last night, but, you know, clearly he's not consistently that same Klay Thompson that they used to have. So, yeah, you hope that Curry's okay if you're the Warriors. If he's not, you know, this one may end pretty soon.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. From the Celtics to the Red Sox on fire out west, 6-0 on this road trip, 7 straight wins. Starting pitching absolutely lights out for them. Nathan Eovaldi last night, but it doesn't seem to matter who they throw out there. This starting rotation has emerged as a real strength of the team.
Well, and give credit to Alex Cora for allowing some of these guys, when they're pitching well, to stay out there and complete the game. We've got, what, 3 complete games in less than a month from some of these guys in the rotation? That to me, it's not overthinking it. It's not thinking about this modern-day baseball thing where, third time through the lineup, I don't know. If a guy's got it, leave him out there. He's got it. Don't mess with them. And I appreciate that because I think that's a little bit of Cora, you know, sort of throwing the game plan out the window and, you know, just relying on a feel for the game a little bit. And, you know, to see a guy like a Waka throw that the way that he did, you know, the other night, and, you know, having a guy like Pivetta step forward the way he did in his complete game. And, you know, yeah, the rotation stepping forward has really, really helped. And this is a stretch where the Red Sox need to, I keep talking about imposing will with the Celtics, they need to impose their will a little bit on some of these teams that, you know, either one are struggling like the Angels, or two, they just have more talent than. You know, it was disappointing to me when they split 2 games with the Reds. You shouldn't split. You should sweep them easily. That was disappointing. But, you know, since then, what, they've rattled off 7 straight wins, chance for 8 straight tonight. So they've sort of looked like that Red Sox team that you thought they were capable of being.
And, you know, the bullpen has been pretty shaky at times this year, but they may have found something here in Tanner Houck, which is good because I think he screwed him over earlier in the year when he turned into Kyrie and wouldn't get vaccinated.
I think it's better that, you know, one of those guys, Houck or Whitlock, needs to be a bullpen weapon.
Yes.
I would have preferred keeping Houck in the rotation, but I guess you're right, Rich, with the whole vaccination thing. It probably just changed everybody's plans there. You know, and I feel like Whitlock he's such a weapon when you get him out of the bullpen. It's like, you know, if you have a guy that goes 6 innings and you can bring in Whitlock for 3 and just shut the game down, you know, I feel like it's much better than using him 5-6 innings at a time once a week. But you know what? The way that Houck has pitched, you're right. It's good. They've sort of reversed roles a little bit than maybe what we thought. And, you know, they can use all the arms they can get at bullpen that are reliable.
All right, before we let you go, Nick, who's the next Bruins coach?
Ooh, you know, I'm going to say Jay Leach. Jay was a former Providence Bruins coach. You know, he knows some of these guys that have emerged as, you know, young players, up-and-coming players for the Bruins organization. Spent the last year, I believe, with the Kraken as an assistant coach out there in Seattle. But I think Jay has a previous relationship with the organization. You know, I think he's got a little bit, I guess, of a lighter touch, if you will. That's sort of what's been being thrown around with why they let go of Cassidy. I didn't agree with the move, but, you know, that's why they've sort of let him go. If not him, there's a guy that plays a lot of golf down here these days in Cranston, Rhode Island, or from Cranston, Rhode Island, I should say, David Quinn, former coach of DU and the New York Rangers. That could be another guy. Worked with young players. The name Nate Lehman from Providence has been thrown out there. I think Nate's a fantastic coach, but I don't know. He, you know, he's happy running a program here. I mean, look, you have a professional opportunity with the Bruins. You know, who knows? But I think because of Leach's previous you know, relationship with the organization, I think he's the guy going forward.
That's Nick Coit, ABC 6 in Providence, sharing wisdom with us here on Downtown. As always, thank you so much, Nick. Hope your weekend goes well. No more meetings, enough of those, and we'll check in with you soon.
Sounds good. And, you know, I hope Celtics fans behave themselves tomorrow night, Rich, because, you know, they were just horrible to those Warriors. Just terrible, you know?
I hope they sit on their hands and do that British accent you did earlier.
Yes, more tea and crumpets and wine and cheese and basketball. It'll be wonderful, wonderful.
Splendid talking with you, Nicholas. Be well, friend.
Oh, cheerio, Richard.
Cheerio. It's Nick Coit with us on Downtown.